Welcome to Dudes on Movies, a podcast where dudes talk about movies. I'm your dude, Scott.
I'm your dude, Dave.
And today is our listener response show for the February questions of the week. We're going to read through some of your responses and let you know what we think.
Mm-hmm.
Ready, Dave?
Yes.
All right, we're going to kick it off with Face Off. It's a super fun episode.
Yeah.
What are your favorite examples of actors mimicking other actors? On Facebook, Maria said, I think I have to go with the new Jumanji movies. They do some good mimicking. I don't think they're copying the other actors.
Right.
But they're mimicking the high school kids that they're playing.
Yeah.
And it's really good mimicry from the main actors.
Right.
Yeah. Carrie also said, Helena Bonham Carter as Bellatrix Lestrange, impersonating Emma Watson as Hermione Granger, pretending to be Bellatrix Lestrange in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
That is quite something.
Quite a sentence. But it makes sense.
Yes,
because
exactly.
That happens in that movie. And Dave, I know you haven't seen it,
right?
But dude, it is amazing.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
And Helena Bonham Carter doing an awesome job.
Yeah,
you
she
know,
rules.
You can't go wrong.
Yep.
And you know, in those movies, I always thought she had like an Elaine Bennis vibe about
her
from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Like she had that look.
Yes.
But yeah, that is an excellent one. I didn't think of that, but that is wonderful.
Right.
Dave, who do you got for this? What have you come up with?
Well, you know, so I realized after we'd asked the question that it's weirdly complex, you know.
Me too.
Because it's probably happened a million times.
We've only had two responses.
I know.
It's tough.
It's a tough one, yeah. On the one hand, you have something like Saturday Night Live where it's part of your job description, you know, whether you're the host or you're a cast member.
Right.
And there was tons of it. I mean, you know.
Impersonation is the name of the game.
Exactly.
On SNL.
Yes. I Ben Stiller. Does a really good Tom Cruise, you know?
Yes, he does.
Naming them all would take forever, so I just wanted to acknowledge that arena exists for this purpose,
right.
You know? But in just movies, one that immediately comes to mind is, again, Tom Cruise. Doing Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men.
Oh.
It's a brief scene where he's technically doing Colonel Nathan Jessup. You know, he's trying to make Demi Moore and Kevin Pollak laugh.
Yeah.
And we, the audience, know he's just doing Jack Nicholson.
Right, yeah.
You know, which is, so it's like a joke within a joke.
Exactly.
You know, pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I also like Tony Curtis doing Cary Grant when he poses as the rich man in Some Like It Hot.
There you go, yeah.
You know, no one ever specifically says that that's what he's doing, but he's doing it, definitely doing it, you know.
Yep.
It's unmistakable. He's just full on doing the voice with every beat and cadence, you know.
Excellent job, too.
Yes, he's pretty spot on with it. A lesser referenced example is something we talked about during our episode on Bogus Journey.
Yes.
I think you know where I'm going.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was my answer.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Okay, proceed,
yeah,
please.
Hal Landon Jr.
Yes.
As Ted's dad. He's pretending to be his son, Ted, because Keanu Reeves has possessed him.
Yes.
And also Roy Brocksmith, playing Deputy James, is possessed by Alex Winter's character,
right.
Bill.
Right.
So these two, you know, uptight police officers are pretending to be Bill and Ted, everybody. And their performances are spot on,
they're
dude.
Really good.
Yeah. I totally possessed my dad.
Yes.
Like,
it's good stuff. And like Hal Landon, I mean, it's not just that he's doing a fun voice. I mean, like,
mannerisms.
I mean, it seems impossible that someone from that generation would even know how to carry themselves as such a person.
Right.
You know, like, what frame of reference would he have other than he's standing next to Keanu Reeves?
You can do a Keanu Reeves impression and get it, but this was, like, Keanu in 1991, right? Like,
right.
He wasn't really Keanu yet as we know him today.
And it's, like, it's him as Keanu as Ted Theodore Logan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's...
It's that Inception we talked about with Helena Bonham Carter,
right.
You know? It's
the same thing, right.
Yeah. He nails it.
Totally great.
Go listen to our Bogus Journey episode, everybody, because we do it justice on that episode.
Yes, we talk for a good, probably 5 minutes about just Hal Landon Jr.'s performance in that moment.
Yeah, and that's my number one choice, Dave.
Awesome,
it's
man.
It's the best one. I also wrote down, like, the Freaky Friday movies. You get some of this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Doesn't matter which one you watch.
Right.
They all do it pretty well.
Right.
So, and that. And speaking of Tom Cruise, it's not like a performance or anything, but I found it funny. Christian Bale said he based Patrick Bateman on Tom Cruise.
Yes. Yes, he did.
So American Psycho is a Tom Cruise impression.
I remember him saying something about, like, he watched an interview with Tom Cruise on David Letterman.
Yes.
He said that there was nothing behind his eyes, but there was an intense friendliness. And I was
that's so funny how terrifying that is, right?
Exactly, because I'm me. Tom Cruise has been an AI since like 1988.
Those aren't real teeth. They're machines.
And it's so weird because he's such a great dramatic actor.
Yeah.
He doesn't do dramatic roles any longer. You know, now he's focuses on, you know, death-defying stunts.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, it's still when you go back and watch him, you're like, how is this guy right. this talented? Because I know that in real life, he's a weird, he's a non-person. Right. He's post-human. You know,
it's part of his religion, too, I think.
It is, like, exactly. Yeah. You know, he's got a, yeah, he worships Lord Xenu or whatever the hell.
Yes, he does. All right, cool. Let's move on to Sphere. What mediocre films do you enjoy the most? On Facebook, Finney Jobin said, The History Boys. I kind of hate the message of it, but I just love Samuel Barnett in it. Finney, if you haven't heard our episode on The History Boys, that's my thoughts exactly.
Yes. Scott and I, you know, clashed over The History Boys.
There's only
know.
Been a few times where we really clashed on movies, and yes. that was one of them.
Yes. I think that movie is excellent, and it's wow. I was so taken aback by that comment when I was like, oh my gosh, someone else doesn't like this movie either. You know,
someone else has stated it publicly.
Exactly,
I'm sure there's
yes.
plenty of people who hate
they've
it.
They've got to
right?
be I mean, out there. Right.
Every movie's got throngs of people
of
who
course,
hate it.
Of
right?
course, yes.
Nolan chimed in on Facebook, said Donnie Darko. I don't know if I would say that's mediocre or not.
I definitely don't agree with that it's being a mediocrity, no.
I think it's polarizing,
sure.
not mediocre.
Right.
But I think that brings up an interesting aspect of the question, right? Like, what is mediocre, right? I think we have a general idea.
Yeah.
But, like, if you love a movie, you don't really think it's mediocre, right?
Well,
or is it kind of that thing where you say, you know it when you see it. That's a mediocre movie.
There is a bit of you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Definitely. I guess, like, you can even consider something mediocre and still enjoy it.
Exactly.
But I think that, like, I guess the way I define it is I don't feel one way or the other about it a lot of times.
Right.
Like, it's just something that has no effect on me. It's a glancing blow in the form of cinema. And that can be, like, my least favorite stuff.
Out of Africa.
Wow. Yes, you have really just, I mean, good Lord.
I win.
Yeah.
Actually, this is what films we enjoy. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope, I don't win.
Right. Yes.
Actually, if that was my answer, I would be losing.
Yes, that's true. But you won some other game that hasn't been played yet with
sometime,
that answer.
Yeah.
Yes. Because... And I mean, like, that's the weird thing is, like, right after I defined it and right after you gave that amazing answer, I thought about, though, like, do I really feel that, like, because I think Sphere is about as mediocre as it gets. And I had pretty damn strong opinions about that movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So what am I talking about even? I think The River Wild, I probably criticized that up and down
That's pretty mediocre. Yeah.
It is. But I was you know, like, trashing it for a good hour and a half.
John C. Reilly, baby. Oh, damn. Here we go. Max chimed in. He said, I tend to stand by the films that I like, but maybe The Meg?
Yes.
I think that would lean more towards bad than mediocre.
Well, I mean, but that's the weird thing. Like, I guess we're going to, like, you know,
okay,
kind of
yeah, we're
going to
get into this.
It. Right,
we're going to be in this circle all night.
Yes.
But yeah, The Meg, by the way, The Meg is awesome.
Yeah, The Meg is kind of a good movie.
It rules because it's so bad.
Yeah.
Max, have you seen the sequel, The Trench? It is.
Yep.
You finally get Jason Statham kicking a megalodon in the face. It's what we've wanted.
Yeah, I guess that's what we were after through the whole thing.
That's all
Meg.
You need.
Right,
so,
yes.
It's not winning awards, but it'll win your heart.
Well, and I think that it's a better... I always hated... the Sharknado stuff. Like,
yeah.
I hated all that sci-fi original stuff because
it's too
it was
tongue in cheek.
I know. Like they
and,
were
and crappy looking.
Deliberately
actually.
Making bad movies is a terrible undertaking. And you know when I saw Mark Cuban in the sequels, I was like, fuck off.
Yes.
You know, come on. Like that is just like intentional bad stuff is like that's about as shitty as art can get.
It is.
You know?
I have a few movies like that though. I think I've got Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus on Blu-ray.
Of course.
But like
But
that's different than a Sharknado.
Exactly.
Which is just not real.
They
giant shark and octopus could be real and fight.
But the other movies you mentioned, yes. Point taken, yes.
That's like a kaiju thing.
But the other movies you mentioned, though, They weren't intentionally horrible. Like, they were trying to do something. Carnosaur is trying to make... They tried to make a movie. Same with Mansquito.
They did. Boa 2 with William Zabka was trying to be a good... It might have been Python 2. I don't remember.
Okay.
One of those. Or the first one, for Christ's sake. I have no idea. Yeah. I just know I've seen it.
I gotcha.
Anyway, thanks for those answers. On Instagram, we have a couple more, Dave. Justin357 said Lethal Weapon 4. That's the winner, I think.
Yeah, actually, that one. Yeah, that is about as average, basic bitch as it gets. Yeah.
It's true. Mosmia Metal said Boondock Saints, and it's so mediocre.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember it, in my 20s, it was good. I throw in The Departed also. I'll fight you on Departed.
Wow, that's a hot take.
But
yeah.
Mediocre is in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Yeah. Now, Boondock Saints, lots of young men have wrestled with themselves over the last 20 years about whether or not the Boondock Saints is worthy of their time. And
that's true.
But in the year 2000, hell yeah, Boondock Saints.
Yep.
You know?
I always hear the people talking about the slow-mo scene where he's explaining, Defoe's like explaining the gunfights and shit.
Right.
Cool, but yeah, mediocre, I guess.
Yeah.
I got a few answers. Again, some people might say they're mediocre. I like them, right?
Okay.
Like, I say Gladiator. A lot of people think that's mid in ways.
Yeah.
I will fight you on that.
Uh-huh.
The Green Mile, I think, is often considered mediocre. I love that movie.
Okay.
I like Frank Darabont's movies a lot. I think they're amazingly well-directed and atmospheric.
Yes.
Sister Act 1.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
I like that one. And Alien 3. I'm a defender of Alien 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming up, people. We're going to do it soon.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So get ready.
That might be a polarizing episode, too. Yeah, it might be.
All right. What do you got, Dave?
I've probably seen European Vacation 50 times in my life.
Oh, man.
You know.
I've seen it once.
Okay.
Maybe twice. I've seen parts of it multiple times, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Probably so. I've seen the sanitized Disney Channel version a million times and the surprisingly explicit PG-13 theatrical cut.
I know, you know, right? Isn't it crazy?
My God, there's so many bare breasts in that movie, and it's like...
I know.
And like Clark threatening to cut off, William Zabka's balls.
I know, right?
Like, yeah.
Man, first a giant snake, now fucking...
Yeah, I know. That guy's all over the place, God, right?
Dude.
That's not a good movie. It's incredibly stupid. It's culturally ignorant, and I've sat through it against my better judgment many times.
Yeah.
I also really enjoy Ridley Scott's Hannibal.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember it being kind of mid.
Exactly. Now, it's based on a famously reviled novel.
I snuck into that movie in theaters.
Is that right?
Yeah. My buddies and I went. I think I was probably like 17 or something when it came out.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know exactly. Yeah. I wasn't legal yet,
quote
unquote.
Right. You weren't R-rated material.
So we bought tickets. Actually, in high school, we left early. We rode in this guy Bob's van to the theater.
Ooh, where's this going?
It's a VW van.
Also. Oh, okay. Then the story just took a different twist. Got it.
Yeah. The three of us went to the theater. Bob was a senior, so he bought us all tickets.
Oh, all right.
We got in. The fucking lobby boy comes in and kicks me out.
Did you have proof of your age?
No, I did not.
Okay.
So I had to go in and watch, I think, some Lindsay Lohan movie or something.
Yeah.
And I waited 10 minutes and I snuck back in.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think
awesome.
I missed anything.
No, I don't think you did either. You probably missed like half of the Imelda Drumgo sequence.
Yeah. So that's my Hannibal story, everybody.
Okay. Very good. I understand why critics hate it so much. But for some reason, I'm just always in the mood to unwind with Julianne Moore's Clarice Starling. And I especially like Giancarlo Giannini.
Yeah.
His character, Inspector Pozzi. I despite all the flaws, the cinematography and the music is so awesome in it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies that if you live with me, you'll walk into the room and go, are you watching that again?
Yes,
you
know, exactly. Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Yeah. I'll have no defense for it. I'll say
I don't hate it, though. Like, I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
I've watched it again since then.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad movie.
It's always interesting.
Yeah.
And but I totally get, as a using a critical eye, I can always, in every scene, I'm like, yeah, I know why that's...
Right, yeah.
You know, okay, right. Got it. But I'll look past it, because for some reason, I just like it.
I'm kind of a Ridley Scott mark, too.
Oh, of course, yes.
Darabont, Ridley Scott. Yeah. Yep. That, I'm there.
Yep.
All right. So let's move on to the one I love, Dave.
Okay.
What are the best movies that feature a very small cast? We got on Facebook, Carly said, gotta go with Reservoir Dogs for the small cast. It reads like a play. And that's true. It does kind of read like a play.
Right.
And a big nod to Sam Rockwell in Moon and 2001 A Space Odyssey in general. Great question, dudes. Yeah, excellent answers there.
Right.
We love Moon. I mean, despite having Gertie in it.
Yes.
Moon comes up a lot in this answer, everybody.
I know. And I especially like also, I hadn't even considered 2001, but yeah, that is a small cast.
It is a very small cast. It feels expansive,
right?
But there's hardly, I mean, there's a handful of characters.
It's a big, ambitious movie that's got like, you know, just a handful of people in it.
Yep. Justin chimed in, The Big Kahuna. Oh, wait, you said the best. That was terrible. Is that another Kevin Spacey?
Yes, it is.
Dude. All right, let me tell you. I think we've been infected by Kevin Spacey lately.
He has really, you know, put some kind of, there's some stain, some pall hanging over us that involves like a green cloud with Kevin Spacey.
I think we've talked about him like for 10 weeks in a row.
I don't understand why. It just keeps coming up in all of our questions and like throughout our show. Yeah.
Whatever. We'll try to get away from that. Tom chimed in. Nice, easy one, dudes. The Station Agent. Simple.
Yeah.
Dude, I watched that for the first time a few years ago. Uh-huh. Not bad.
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage, awesome in it, man.
Right.
It's like a mumblecore Peter Dinklage.
Yep.
I'm down.
I know. And he had made like a big name for himself already with Living in Oblivion, but like this is his first starring role, I think.
Exactly, yeah. And Michelle Williams in it, kind of, did she get a nomination or something?
I don't remember.
I think, or maybe it's one of her earlier like post-Dawson Creeks type roles that she got recognition for.
Right.
But I was doing a Michelle Williams marathon. And
oh, that's
I was
a good
like,
marathon.
All right, what haven't I seen? Throw it on.
Nice. Yes.
And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yep.
Chris said Castaway. Most of that movie is just Tom Hanks. So,
yeah. That definitely is. That is accurate. One guy for an hour. Yeah, that's a small cast.
I love Castaway.
Yep.
Ryan says Moon. Sam Rockwell is basically the entire movie. Kevin Spacey's just a voice. Thank God. Scott added that. And the rest of the four people in it are wildly forgettable. Moon, we love Moon. Go listen to our episode.
Right,
it's wonderful.
And one of the actors that was on the video screen was Matt Berry.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. I think when I read Ryan's question, when I read Ryan's answer on to the question, I started to think about like, you know, what if Matt Berry had played Gert? Now you've got something.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be like, you know, loath to rewatch it. You know
what they should have done? This might be a spoiler for Moon. I'll try to keep it vague. Maybe Kevin Spacey could have kept being disposed of over and over again.
Oh, that would be good.
That would have been nice.
I mean, it would have been like humane.
Yeah.
You know?
Right? Yes. All right. On Instagram, Den Grimm says Closet Land.
Alan Rickman and Madeline Stowe. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the gnarliest yet well-acted movies I've ever seen. Haunts me to this day. I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to check that one out. Alan said, same time next year. Alan Alda, Ellen Burstyn, what can I say? I like strange love stories.
It's Ellen Burstyn, isn't it?
He wrote Burstyn, but maybe he means Burstyn.
Okay, yeah.
Typo, I guess.
Right.
Or maybe I screwed it up, folks. Sometimes I, just ruin the show.
Oh,
habit now.
Yes.
All right, and WN Movie Talk Podcast wrote us a little like letter here. He said, hey, dudes, Trev here. This was a great episode. I'd not heard of this movie before, but now really want to see it. It sounds awesome. In answer to your question, recently watched All Is Lost, literally one man on a boat, although I had read the screenplay about 4 or 5 years ago, was like 20 pages long. A gripping ride, though, and a very weathered Redford holding our attention all on his lonesome. But one of my favorite movies with a small cast, Moon. I absolutely love that movie. Great debut from a son of Stardust, and Rockwell is great. I love how you expect the AI Spacey again. He said that, not me this time, to do a Hal, but he comes good. Oh, and there's another, Ex Machina. Truly great analysis of the prospects of artificial intelligence and three awesome performances there, too. Hear, hear, Trev.
Yes, yes.
I second all of these.
Right, we really loved Ex Machina when it came. We talked about it in like our first Oscar episode.
Oh my gosh, I know.
It
was our picks for original screenplay.
Right,
like,
right.
I think we... I might have gave Alicia Vikander, or I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an awesome movie.
Yes.
That was the year of the Domino, right?
It was. It was the birth of like pulling a Domino Gleason.
we almost had a couple of those this year.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
All right. But yeah, Moon, excellent. All is Lost. I have not seen it, but ever since I heard about this, ever since it came out, I've been wanting to watch it. I just never did.
Right.
Sounds awesome. All right, Dave, what do you got here?
We've talked about Hard Candy before.
Yes, we did.
Man, that's...
Well, briefly.
Yes,
briefly. We haven't done an episode.
That's true, yeah. It was, even though it was early in Elliot Page's career, you know, obviously he's incredible in it, and it just completely carries the whole thing.
Yep.
I was also blown away the first time I saw Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, my God.
You know...
Right?
Yeah.
It's so freaking awesome.
So amazing. And, you know, sometimes it's too much to sit through, because, like... It's so raw, and I find myself speculating about how much of what we're hearing might be like real conversations between Richard Burton and Liz Taylor.
Right.
Because, I mean, when two actors married and divorced one another twice, it's hard to ignore that aspect of their lives, especially when they spend 2 hours savaging each other like this.
Right.
You know, another favorite is Long Day's Journey Into Night. And that's another film where you start to feel like you're in a trash compactor,
right.
Because it goes out of its way to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
And, these are difficult issues they're tackling, and you feel every word of the character's bitterness and resentment, you know? It's of course amazingly well acted by an awesome cast.
Yeah.
But obviously my all time favorite movie
is
of course My Dinner with Andre, everybody.
There it is.
Yes. It had to come up at some
waiting.
Point. Yes. You know, two of the movies I mentioned before predate it, but I still think this one set a new standard that every other attempt at this kind of movie is measured against. And it makes you laugh. It takes you to dark places. It makes you think about existence. It asks you to consider whether you're in the right relationship and if all your needs are met. And then it thrusts you abruptly back to ordinary life, where you're now forced to find fulfillment in the mundane. I know this, I did not make this sound fun, but trust me, everybody, you have to watch this movie at least once in your life, and I cannot recommend it enough.
I second. Definitely. It is so enthralling.
Absolutely, dude. Yep.
Definitely watch it. My list. I threw Moon on here.
Yes.
Before Sunrise, all the Before movies,
of
I guess
course.
You can consider. Keeping it with Linklater, Tape. Do you remember Tape?
Yes, I do.
With Robert Sean Leonard and Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
It is quite a film. It all takes place in a single hotel room, just the three of them.
Yep.
Kind of digging into the past, and everyone has kind of a separate motivation. It's very tense and kind of gross.
Oh, it is.
So
very, yeah,
so
very
yeah,
so.
Go into that, you know, warned everybody. Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yep.
ABC.
Always
oh my be
God.
Closing.
There's Kevin Spacey again.
Don't you God. Why did I have to?
At least he gets a nice dressing down at the end.
That's true.
Al Pacino calls him a stupid fucking C word. Yeah, he gets to stand there humiliated.
Does
for a
Alec
minute.
Baldwin call him an F word?
Actually, he calls the other guys the F slur.
I knew that.
Yeah,
but, okay.
Right.
All right, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm sure in real life he probably called him that.
You know it.
All right, I've got two more real quick. Locke with Tom Hardy. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Tom Hardy driving a car, making phone calls.
I did not want to watch that movie at first when I heard about it. And I finally sat down for it, and I'm glad I did.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, great.
Stephen Knight wrote and directed it. He wrote Eastern Promises.
Yes.
And he's done he's written like most of Peaky Blinders, I think.
Oh,
like, so,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
This guy's great.
Right.
But everybody watch that. It's a very tense, like interesting movie.
Yes.
And my favorite probably is The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, dude.
Three
yes.
people lost in the woods, you know. I love it.
Right.
Some people don't like it. Whatever, go to hell. It's a... It's a fantastic movie.
You hear that, everybody? Damnation for you if you don't like the Blair Witch Project.
Right. All right. So now let's move on to The Last Temptation of Christ. The question was, what are your favorite movies about faith? On Facebook, Dane said Dune. There you go,
there
Dane.
There it is, man.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Very timely answer.
Uh-huh.
On Instagram, Sun and Air 85 said, I listened to the episode this morning. I found it interesting, thought-provoking, and very funny. Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not a religious person, but I fucking love Willem Dafoe as Jesus. I'd follow that man. You guys are amazing.
Oh, man. Awesome.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome. And then he says, other favorites about faith, religion, Life of Brian, Dogma, Religulous.
Mm. Yeah. Got it.
Life of Brian, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I love Life of Brian. Yeah. My God. I'm always going to be thinking about the People's Front of Judea and the Judean People's Front. I mean, forever.
Yep. Dogma, also a great kind of contemporary, unique take on religion.
I think that's probably Kevin Smith's best film for me.
It might be his best, overall.
Yes.
Like everything about it.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So then WM Movie Talk Podcast said, just got around to listening. A great in-depth review as usual. I watched and owned this movie way back when I got first into Scorsese. But the story, the lack of language, and hen stomping didn't appeal to my 18-year-old self. And I got rid of it. He's talking about Last Temptation of Christ here, everybody. I often kick myself now. Would love to check it out again. If I may add another choice for the question of the week, can I suggest The Exorcist? Father Karras is questioning his faith, even when face-to-face with the devil himself, adds layers to the story that help to make it the educated and thoughtful horror that it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of films set around this time in the Italian-American community where someone is questioning their faith. Only the other night I rewatched Saturday Night Fever, where Travolta's brother returns home having given up the priesthood. There you go.
Nice.
Stay tuned for a supersized Saturday Night Fever, everybody.
That's right.
It might be out. Well, I think this will be out first.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we're in the future
or not. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be out around the same time. So you might have to wait a week or it might be out a day. I don't know. Who knows? All right. But yeah, dude, awesome answers. And The Exorcist, man.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, like, it definitely is a movie about faith. I mean, like, that's what the whole point of it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then on... Carly messaged us on Facebook/Instagram. I think they combined the messenger on that thing now.
Yeah, I can't tell what it is anymore.
I don't know anymore. Right. It's on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Carly chimed in, hi, dudes. I didn't see The Last Temptation of Christ in theaters. It was years later on video. I remember thinking it was well done in that last... And that The Last Temptation was a normal life and Jesus being shown what he's been giving up. I agree that Bowie stole his scenes. He's wonderfully wicked. Great discussion. Loved it. I had to throw that in. The wonderfully wicked.
Yes.
Perfect description. Her answer, though, best movies about faith. Women Talking. Hacksaw Ridge. Couldn't choose. They both moved me and showed me people who believe in something and stand their ground. Yeah, great answers. Women Talking. Everybody, if you listen to last year's Oscars episode, you know we just are in love with that movie.
Yeah, that movie is so great.
So awesome. Yeah. And Hacksaw Ridge, that's a faith movie for sure.
It is. Right.
Andrew Garfield, his character was not what I expected it to be.
No, I know. And I thought that like Mel Gibson, he definitely has a theme that runs through a lot of his movies where it's like one man who is like he's up against violence and, you know, he has to like take some kind of principled stand, you know?
Yeah. So I thought about it. My favorite is probably The Matrix because Neo is, you know, the one.
Yes,
Everyone believes or they don't believe.
Right.
And he has to choose the path. And it's definitely a faith movie.
It very much so. Yeah. It's about his... like without ever mentioning Christianity or Abrahamic religions, like it's surprisingly about faith, just in yourself and also the Almighty, whatever that is.
Yep. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Now I will follow him.
Yes,
it's
there
fine.
You go. Right.
Sorry, Dave, what do you got?
Well, I thought a lot about this question and what's both ironic and shitty is that like Christian owned production companies that produce faith-based movies, you'd think that they could be trusted to make good movies about faith, but they cannot, obviously.
Don't get me started.
You know, they make films about evangelical right-wing culture issues, and instead of making movies about people struggling with a true faith in God, and it just really sucks. But, like, as for my picks, I mean, like, what I would like them to do is check out these other movies, because you have Robert Duvall's The Apostle. That's a serious film about a Southern Baptist preacher who is a wealthy egomaniac, and it's only once he's a fugitive and hiding from the law that he begins to truly understand God.
Yeah.
And what his faith means to him. And it's a movie that's about Christianity that gives you hope at the end of it. And that shouldn't be as rare as it is, but, you know, here we are. And, like, it doesn't care whether you're a Christian or not.
Yeah.
It presents this guy, this central character, as someone who believes in Jesus Christ with everything he is, and he's upfront about it. And it just, like, trusts you to, like, listen, to just hear the story. You know, and
yeah.
And whether you feel that he, you know, like, however you feel about it is okay, but this is the story. You know, that's what I like about
it. You know, it's a good movie.
Yes, it is.
Did you see The Two Popes?
Yes,
from
I
a
did.
Few years ago?
Yes, I did.
That's a good one I just thought of. Wonderful.
Yeah, I really was, I wasn't surprised by it because I knew going in it was going to be really good.
Yeah.
But because it's, and it's just another great two-hander too, if you have a small
yes,
cast.
Yes, another small cast.
Yes,
dude.
I mean, like.
Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce. And,
yeah. Yep. Speaking of Glengarry.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another great recent film was Paul Schrader's First Reformed.
See, you know, every time we mention that, I'm like, you know, I haven't seen it.
Is it
I
still
keep
sitting,
saying I'm going to see it.
Is it still sitting in your queue or something?
It's in my Amazon Prime queue.
Okay.
But I don't have Prime anymore.
Oh,
so,
okay. So, yeah, Paul's out of luck.
I'm just going to have to pirate it, I guess.
Right, because there's no other way to watch a film.
I know. I might just rent it from the library.
Very well.
It's probably on Canopy.
Oh,
I don't know.
I guarantee you it is, yes.
I'll find a way that's legal, everybody.
Exactly,
I guarantee it.
That's right. Well, this is another movie that I want. I want bad modern Christians to watch this, you know, because if they paid any attention, they'd come away from it realizing that their faith isn't scripture based.
Yeah.
You know, this is not an easy movie to sit through because it asks you hard questions and it has you pondering existence again. And we can't spend our whole lives doing
that. Yeah, you know how much humans love doing that.
Yes, of course. But we can do so occasionally if it improves the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
We should at least make the effort. And I will not stop just gushing about First Reformed probably for a long time because it's an excellent movie, and I'm really glad that Paul Schrader, this far into his career, is still making stuff this good.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Going back to like the Christian production companies,
yes,
and stuff.
Right.
There was a movie that came out last year that I was listening to a critic. I think it was like Leah Lowenstein on Film Week or something like that. And I forget the name of the movie, but she defended it. Like, this was a good one, actually.
Oh.
And I wish I remembered. Might go back and look. But
okay.
Yeah, I've seen a handful of them, and it's just, they're just not good movies.
I know. There's that part of
like,
it. Yeah.
That sucks.
Right.
Like, try to at least make a good movie.
It's possible to do it.
Like, they just all suck.
I know. Because they don't care about art, for one thing. So
yeah.
So and they're afraid of anything that kind of is going to question their own beliefs. And
yeah.
When you limit yourself like that, of course, what's gonna come out is just bowdlerized horse shit.
Starring Kevin Sorbo. Oh my God. I saw God's Not Dead in theaters.
Oh Jesus.
And Kevin Sorbo, everybody.
Oh man.
Fuck that guy.
Yes.
That movie is so bad.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the worst scripts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Put to film.
How did you find yourself in the theater watching this movie?
I was dating a really hot Christian girl.
Nice.
Yeah. Keyword was.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway.
Oh, wow.
So I had to go to the movie.
Very well.
Yeah. Yeah. I also saw some other bad movies. A Vince Vaughn movie where he has babies. Delivery Man.
Was this a Christian? Was this a faith-based movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, got it.
She just right. like bad movies.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes. Yeah, I got you. Right.
Enough of that shit.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk about some good movies.
Uh-huh.
So that wraps things up. Thanks for all your responses. I'm all tripped up now.
That's okay.
But yeah, it was a great time as always. Dave, why don't you let them know where they can reach us?
Yes, we're on Facebook, Blue Sky, and Instagram. Look for Dudes on Movies, and our email address is dudesonmovies@gmail.com.
That's right. And, you know, Dave, I get tripped up on, like, every episode now, it feels like. It's a new trend.
Yeah.
It's like an infection, kind of like Kevin Spacey.
It is, kind of like you turn into Hugh Grant for a moment.
Oh, dude, I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? All right, so until next month when we respond to March's questions, I'm your dude, Scott.
I'm your dude, Dave.
And we'll see you next time.